angels at the very beginning who were unfaithful to God, refused to obey out of pride. And then hell came into existence because of their pride. And among the defined articles of the Catholic faith is the definition that evil does not exist as a result of a power independent of God. No. Everything which God created is good. But the devil came into existence. The devil came into existence because he refused to submit his created will to the uncreated will of God. And I'm quoting the fathers of the church. Every person in mortal sin is an agent of the devil. Period. Let me repeat. Every person in mortal sin is an agent of the devil. Exclamation mark. The most dangerous people on earth. They can be in positions of great influence. Can be heads of universities, heads of countries, can be billionaires in wealth. A person whose will refuses to submit to the will of God is, I repeat, an agent of the evil spirit. If there's one thing St. Ignatius trains us to teach others, teach them, train people to believe in the evil spirit and have a high regard for the power of the evil spirit. And you just never speak to the evil spirit. You never invoke him. You never play around. For example, even a thing as innocent, so it seems, as the Ouija board is dangerous. His discourse, therefore, I repeat, his compendium, a compendium of the Gospels, or better, because it came first. Peter's discourse is the foundation for the Gospels. In other words, in his discourse on Pentecost Sunday, Peter set the rules. This is what the Gospel is all about. The result we know was a phenomenal conversion. But hear it. Not everyone. Among the hardest decisions that I've had to make over the years of my priesthood is to know when to let go a person who I knew needed, say, to return to God's friendship, or come back to the faith, or come back to the state of grace and abandon his or her life of sin. My question, how long do you pursue? Ignatius tells us, pray for the grace to know when to let go. Because there was such a thing as wasting time. And there are some people just will not listen. In Christ, the Son of the living God, raising people from the dead during his visible stay on earth. Remember, as John describes Christ raising Lazarus from the dead, the scribes and Pharisees said to themselves, as they saw the dead Lazarus come out of the grave, "This is too much. This man must be killed. That's Christ. Otherwise, the whole world is going to follow him." Pride, pride, pride. Because with the thousands of people who gathered to see what this noise was all about, they might all have been converted, right? Could have been. You might say God made sure they were not all converted to protect us from the illusion of knowing there are stubborn wills and not listen even to the Holy Spirit. And then the last section, verses 42 to 47. On the fervor of the early church. I think some of this I should read. Courses in the Acts of the Apostles. But as I read this, keep in mind the early church is, and I mean it is, a pattern of what the church of all times and varying degrees and varying measures should be. Externally, they were a closely knit body to which unbelievers were not admitted. Hear it and think. Hear it and think. Hear these classes in Ann Arbor, or do nothing else but enlighten your minds, and you make a decision. Not today, not tomorrow, not next week. But you make a decision. You don't tell people. You don't write them a letter. You use your head. You should be friendly with everyone. Believer and unbeliever. But in the name of God, choose your friends. And all the books in social psychology, to the contrary notwithstanding, we need believers with whom we can communicate, and they need believers, please God, like us, with whom they can communicate. And there is one thing which the modern world, what a safe statement, does not believe, is that we should be, oh no, selective among the people with whom we even associate. And the people with whom we deal have a deeper influence on us than most of us realize. We are all no exceptions. We are all victims of human respect. We want to please. But what a difference. What a difference in whom we please and the process displease God. I've given too many retreats, not knowing for many people this is the hardest decision of their life, to choose their friends, and especially if for years they have been indiscriminate. I hope I'm clear. And your parents, for your children, in the name of God, make sure the children that your children associate with have either the true faith that that's possible, or the very least will not be a hindrance to the faith and morality of your own sons and daughters. We go on. I'll go to 3:45. That's what my calendar tells me to do. They took care of their own poor. Took care of their own poor. His moral unity is also expressed by the names used for the faithful. They were brethren, either members of a family, disciples, like a school of thought, saints, like a society or group consecrated to God. Authority was vested in the apostles under the leadership of St. Peter, and commands issued their beliefs with those taught by the apostles. They are shared with one another. Some, those who wanted to, would give up, remember, even what they possessed, to put into a common fund. Not required, but could if they wanted to. And what a difference. What a difference between our modern world, which is so far departed from the teachings of Christ and that early church. And for Catholics, like-minded Catholics, even to live near one another, to support one another, to talk to one another, to share with one another, all of this is what the early church tells us was the model of how the first community lived, and we, as far as we can, are to follow their example. And now, some questions. Question, this is in the Sunday Visitor. I am in danger of death. There is no priest of the Latin Rite nearby, He was a priest of the order founded by the Archbishop Lefebvre at hand, as well as a well-respected Episcopal pastor. Should I ask one or the other to give me Holy Communion? If so, in what order of preference? Answer. The priest from the Society St. Pius X, while illicit and in schism, is validly ordained and validly but illicitly celebrates the sacraments. There's a question of validity of episcopal orders and of the validity of the sacraments of penance and the Eucharist. As the priest from the Society of Pius X would be preferred, that I say, don't go to the Episcopalian, odds are you will not be getting Viaticum. A priest of the Byzantine Rite, union with Rome, is both validly ordained and licit. If such a person was available, he should be called. Even an Eastern Rite priest, not in union with Rome, valid but illicit, would be preferable to questionable orders. A good answer. Should my twin sisters attend Marian High School next year, our local public school? Marian is located in Birmingham, is IHM run. And although it may not be anymore, I'm not sure. I will have to look up, as I promised, the question asked originally about Marian in Birmingham. I look into it and let the person know. Somebody would identify himself with this question. Please explain the word procession as applied to the Trinity. The word procession is the defined term to replace cause. In other words, the second person proceeds from the first. The third person proceeds from the first and second. Procession means that a person of the Trinity comes from one, or in the other case, two persons, without being caused. In other words, procession is the infallibly defined term as a substitute for cause, because we do not speak of the second or third persons as being caused by either the first or the first and second persons. Is there a difference between the East and the West in understanding the procession of persons of the Trinity? Please explain. In general, yes. In the East, that's Byzantine Christianity, there are those who are heretical in the Eastern Church. They will deny that the third person, proceeds from the Father and the Son. However, most of the Eastern Christians, whether Orthodox, of course, those in union with Rome, they will hold that the first person proceeds from both the first and second person. But in their creed, they prefer to say proceeds from the Father, and not as the word and from the Son in Latin, filioque. Why not? Why not? Because an early pope inserted the word and from the Son in the creed, which is recited or sung at Mass. But even though the filioque is not in their creed, the Eastern churches, nevertheless, they do believe that the third person proceeds from both the Father and the Son. The church was born on Calvary. Could Pentecost be called the first public manifestation of the church? Perfect. A perfect description of Pentecost, the first public manifestation of the church. An authority on sexual reproduction who is Catholic was asked if natural family planning should be taught to single mothers. She said that yes, NFP should be taught to these single mothers, since it is shown to prevent further pregnancies. What do you believe on this? Well, that cannot be the motive. It prevents further pregnancies. As you say in Rome, Mamma Mia. NFP may be used, but then you don't use it because it prevents further pregnancies. From Maria Immaculata magazine, quote, whereas Mary was exempt from original sin, she was not exempt from actual sin. Please explain. Yeah, there's nothing to explain except deny it. It's very simple. Here's the explanation. And Maria Immaculata magazine. No. Our Lady never committed actual sin, number one. Secondly, she was protected from ever committing actual sin by the grace that she received. It would have been a meaningless Immaculate Conception. My gosh. All right. So I was conceived without sin. But now, God has not given me the grace to avoid sin. Well, once she was born, so there's no explanation. It's wrong. That's spelled W-R-O-N-G. Could you tell us your three main reasons you believe in God? Oh, gee. First reason, there could not originally have been nothing. If there had been nothing, there would be nothing in existence. Is that good logic? From nothing comes nothing. A being that had to exist to make all other existence even possible, I call God. Secondly, the human conscience. I know one child who knew something was wrong and did it anyhow at the ripe old age of 3. And I knew I was dummy wrong. I never read a book. In other words, the human conscience. There must be a God who is enlightening the human mind from the very, even before the dawn of reason, on what is right and wrong. Another reason, I could give 13 reasons, but 3 will be enough. Another reason, there must be a God to provide us with the satisfaction of all the desires we've got here on earth. Because nothing, the longer you live, the more sure you are there's nothing, nothing created that will satisfy. The desire for God, which is for perfect happiness, is so strong in the human heart. There must be a God who will satisfy that desire. Would it be proper to say, as the third person of the Trinity proceeds from the Father through the Son? That's what many of the Eastern people say, through the Son. And the reason they use the preposition through, because the second person had to become man in order for us to receive the Holy Spirit. However, in the Trinity, in other words, what we do, whether we even exist, it has nothing to do with what goes on in God. So, proceeds from the Father through the Son is the favorite terminology used by the Eastern churches. The trouble with that is that so many have interpreted that through as subordinate, as though, in other words, the second person was not absolutely co-equal with the Father as the one along with the Father from whom the third person proceeds. How do we, as lay people, combat the errors and corruption we find in our parishes and the church? First, keep close to God, my prayer and the sacraments. Only God can give you both the wisdom to recognize error and the courage to somehow overcome it. Secondly, to combat and somehow overcome the errors and corruption. The best way of fighting error, this is Pope Paul VI's language, the best way to overcome error is with the truth. I cannot tell you the phenomenal power that one courageous person who is willing to stand up for the truth has. In other words, ask our Lord to give you the courage that you need to stand up for the truth and not be taken in by the corruption. Then I would add, as I indicated, I believe in the last class, or was it yesterday, at the conference that I gave in Lapeer. Our seminaries in the United States have been so hard hit by becoming affiliated with a non-Catholic, not just, you might say, standardizing agency, but degree entry. Most of the priests in the United States get a degree now, when they're ordained, from this Protestant degree granting organization. I was on the commission with the bishops, through your cardinal among the bishops, plated herbs. And the priest, one of my former students, who engineered the whole enterprise, took him several years to do it. He left the priesthood. What we need is, and I mean this, heroic patience. On the one hand, not to be crushed or discouraged. And on the other hand, not to lose your temper. Use it, but don't lose it. Calm. And there's so much to be done. And I did tell you briefly about what the Holy See wants for especially English-speaking countries, and with emphasis the United States, to get the Catechism of the Catholic Church to be used, because we now have, it's right there, what the Church believes. How can it be an occasion of sin for someone to have the kiss of peace? Where do we start? First, it depends on how seriously this question is meant. Secondly, it depends on the gender of the person who wrote it. Thirdly, it depends on the experience of the one who wrote it. Well, I can tell you, yes, the kiss of peace can be an occasion of sin. Want to see me privately? I'll see you privately. I'll explain in more detail. Were the 3 days of darkness prophesied by saints, if this is true, well, who were they? Who were the saints? It would be a final chastisement. Well, as you know, there are all kinds of theories about the end of times, including the 3 days of darkness. Well, I must say I don't expect the end of the world to come for centuries, millennia. So, it's an academic question to me. Don't worry. How strictly can we be selective? That is, without being uncharitable or becoming intolerant, bigoted, or prejudiced. well, this is perfect Americanese. You intolerant bigot. You never tell a person, you heretic. Oh, you smile. In fact, you're extra kind to heretics. That's a special charity you practice. So, also, what if our families, many of whom may have lost the faith, well, bring them back. I did tell you about my mother again. My uncle was married outside the church. I told you about that, didn't I? I had entered the Jesuits. It was Uncle George. I would tell me, no, Uncle George is living in sin, so I knew he must be living in sin. Mother said so. Well, I entered the Jesuits, and he received my mother. She'd come over. Every time she came to visit him, she'd bring up his bad marriage, or rather lack of marriage, not validly married. So finally, one Sunday, she's a little woman, he picked her up. He didn't throw her out, but he carried her out of the house, put her on the porch, and banged the door behind her. But my mother, 2 weeks later, there she was. He couldn't believe his eyes. I could have shouted, get out. Oh, come in. Soon after, Mother wrote to me, we got a priest to, fix up, as we say, fix up the marriage, 5 o'clock in the morning, behind closed doors. He was killed shortly after, automobile accident. How are we to be a light to the world if we disassociate ourselves with what may be most of society? Now look, thanks for the question. Oh, man, you're just, gosh, you've got a job. You can see your boss is a Jehovah's Witness. And tomorrow morning you show up at work and say, Mr. So-and-so, you're a Jehovah's Witness. You're not good for my soul. You gotta use your head. There are people you can be associated with. Acquaintances, people that you know, you deal with. But what a difference between associating with people, knowing them, meeting them, and being on close, friendly terms with them. But even those with whom you associate, they can be, totally different from you, have no faith whatever. But there are certain ways in which you bring certain subjects into conversation. So, there's no problem associating with those who don't share our faith. My point was, and that's what the early church teaches us, those who are of our own faith should be those who are our friends, with whom we can share our inner spirit. The deepest joy on earth, this side of heaven, is spirit communicating with spirit. two people sharing their deepest inner convictions. Please have read this. And it is only the priest who can offer the Eucharist at Mass. Is it incorrect to say or pray using the words as a layperson, I offer the Mass, or sacrifice of the Mass for my intention? Whatever that may be. Well, you can say it. And over the years, for example, I've called Benedictus Minim, good communities, called their attention to the fact in their constitutions, they will say, we are to offer Mass for, say, the deceased sisters who offer so many Masses. Well, you know what you're doing, what you're saying. The word may be used, though I must say, I'd rather say, offer the hearing of Mass, or offer Mass as heard. Would it be more correct to use the words, I unite my prayers with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, for whatever intention? Yes. I'm considering the diaconate. Should I forget it and remain in the laity with all the problems in seminaries? Can you recommend one nearby? Well, remember, you cannot go on for the diaconate unless the bishop of the diocese first accepts you. You got to first be accepted for the seminary, and then, of course, to be ordained. And the bishop is the one who is in charge. Is the Pope's pronouncement on ordination of women infallible? Question. I've always been the side of more needed research. There must be extra in the church who can give us more information. For the Pope's pronouncement of last summer, we conclude that A, there's nothing more to discuss, and this is the infallible position of the church. Where do you go from here? Answer. The Pope's pronouncement 6 months ago is not an infallible statement. There have been only 3 such clearly infallible statements in the past 150 years or so. Oh, no. Oh, no.
That's from the Catholic Times. I just want to see if it was good. This Diocese of Lansing.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the Catholic Times.
Oh. Yeah. Affinities are the same as infallibly. Yeah. And the advice in this column are good. It is no good. Period. As I'm sure I've told you people more than once, every canonization of a saint is an infallible pronouncement. The Pope says, Definimus, redefined. I can see, with my little knowledge of Scripture, how beings, creatures, and so on from other planets could be from God. If not from God, they must be evil spirits, is this part of the New Age movement. Evil spirits clothed like angels were the messengers. Paul's speech in Acts 17:22-31 seems to be one such one which supports the idea that the earth is the only place that inhabits beings that are made in God's image and likeness. As far as we know, yes. Theoretically, could there be other planets with either human beings as we know them or rational creatures on them? Could be. Chapter 6 of Acts. A need for assistance. The apostles gathered the community and asked them to select 7 reputable men filled with the Spirit. Why then, after they were selected, did the apostles pray and lay hands on them? Were they just bestowing a blessing? Oh no, they were ordaining them as deacons. It's a common interpretation.